Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to all dad, and happy Men's Day to all men's here that being a spiritual father to some of our kids here and even outside. There's been a lot of things going on this week together with the Air India accident, only one survivor, a 40-year-old man, and I don't know if you watch news, but I think if this is not going to be stopped, then there will be a World War III coming. So let's pray for Israel and Iran with that. So, but then that doesn't stop us to worship God. Amen. We know everything and whatever it is, God is in control. Amen. So Father's Day, that's a very special day for all the dads, I guess. You have, maybe some of you have new gifts. What gift do you have for Father's Day? You have motorcycle, new bikes, hugs and kisses. Sounds like chocolate. But yeah, title of my sermon today is Effective Fatherhood. My topic, my goal of my topic is ultimately to glorify the Lord in our worship today. To refocus family to be Christ-centered, to encourage fathers, not just fathers, but mothers, to step up in taking care of the spiritual aspect of our children, and to remind us parents, especially fathers, to spend quality time with our kids, with our children. So our verse, we already read the Genesis chapter 18 and 19, which is, I think, one of those best example of as a father who leads a family, Abraham. But before that, please pray for me too, okay, as we pray. It's not easy to be here, and everyone that comes over this stage already knew that. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that we're here to celebrate Father's Day. But ultimately, Lord, you are our Father. And thank you for your love. And thank you for giving your Son to us, dear God. Thank you for just being so good. That your love is so great that even your own, you give it up for us. And pray for the sermon today, Lord. Use me as your mouthpiece. Guard me from error. And may you be the one be glorified in this midst. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if my voice is louder at the back, but I hope so. It's quiet, hot today. I was about to take off my... my blazer, but all our air conditioning are not working for now. So bear with us. This is going to be quick, an hour. So, did you have your breakfast? No? Same here. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, for I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. The way of the Lord. You see it there, right? After him to keep the way of the Lord. That's a very important words right there. With this verse, it emphasizes the importance of Abraham commanding his children and household to keep the way of the Lord. This path is more than just a personal journey. It is a communal one that spans generation until now to us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 reinforces this idea. These commandments that I gave you today are to be in your, where? Hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Talk about them all the time, every time, if you have the opportunity. The way of the Lord is meant to be a living tradition, passed down from one generation to the next generation. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, 19. Repeat. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine, where? In your heart and in your soul. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. I have two main things to share to you this morning. First point is, as fathers, as effective fathers, let us lead the way in reading and studying the Bible. And second, as effective father, we have to communicate his love. First one, our verse is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Says there, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped, remember this word, for every good work. We're not just going to read our Bible. You know the song, read our Bible, pray every day. Pray every day. But this time, we're just not going to read it, but study it. It's different. Not just reading, but studying and applying. It's different to just read the Bible and then we don't apply it. What we've learned from the Bible. Living it daily in our actions. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates only night. Day and night. Amen. We We have to lead the way in living out the gospel. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called." Walk in a manner. We talk about this in the men's retreat. We talk about sound doctrine. In the book of Titus, chapter 2. "Can your children tell by your words and action that God's words has an effect on you?" Can you tell it? Men's, fathers, can your children tell by your words and action that God's word has an effect on you? Think about it for a second. If your life reveals you don't take God seriously, what else do you think is the result? Our children will take God lightly too. When we don't put Christ first in our home, in our lives, men's, fathers, we are the head of the family. Amen. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. I don't think that they have this there, but if they can flash it, be great. Can we flash Luke chapter 2? Chapter 14, verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Christ first. God first. Let us show, not even just show, and even say it, our affection to our wife. Who had a wife here? You don't have wives? Look at your wife. If she's somewhere, look at your wife. Have we ever say, "I love you," to our wives, and our children knows it, that we say it, or we are just contented serving? We all believe in action speaks louder than word all the time. So we don't say it anymore. It feels nice, eh? And it's a good example to our children that we let them know that we love our wives. Amen? So then, in the future, they're going to emulate it. We are the model, as we say. So if we're not doing it, if we don't show it in our action today, how are we able to expect that our children will be doing that in the future too? Treating others with compassion. As a couple, you know, don't yell at in front of your wife, especially with when your children are there. I don't think that's go to the room, talk about it, or else say nothing. We wanted to foster compassion, but then we're not showing it. And we are driving, fathers, and we are driving, somebody cut us off. What do you do? Cut him off too? Or yell? Not realizing your son, your children at the back? What do you think our children will do when they grow and they will drive? So, let's living out the gospel. Let's put it into action what we've learned from the Bible. Self-control, patience. We also lead them in prayer. We also lead them in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Very familiar verse. Pray without ceasing. Are we doing this? Are we doing this, fathers? Are we leading our children in prayers? Psalm 103, verse 17. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Are we praying for this to our children? Are we reminding them that the love of God is everlasting, so that they may have also grow love to God? I'm going to be quick. So my second one is, an effective father communicates his love. It's hard to communicate love when you're doing discipline too. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This verse is a summary of instructions to the father in both negative and positive way. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The negative part of this verse indicates that a father is not a foster negativity in his children by severity, injustice, partiality, or, listen to this, unreasonable exercise of authority. Minsan tayo mga dad, sobra kung makadisiplina. We discipline too much. Not because it's the right way, because out of our emotion. Harsh, unreasonable conduct toward a child will only serve to nurture evil in their heart. The word provoke means to irritate, rub the wrong way or insight. This is done by the wrong spirit and wrong methods. Such provocation will produce adverse reactions, deepening children's affection, reducing their desire for holiness, and making them feel that they cannot possibly please their parents. A wise parent seeks to make obedience desirable and attainable by love and gentleness. The positive part of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 is expressed in a comprehensive direction. Educate them. Bring them up. Develop their conduct in all of life by the instruction and admonition of the Lord. Martin Luther said, keep an apple beside the rod to give child when he does well. Discipline must be exercised with watchful care and constant training with much prayer. Chastening, discipline, and counsel by the word of God, giving both reproof and encouragement, are the core of admonition. The instruction proceeds from the Lord. Let me repeat it again. The instruction proceeds from the Lord. And is learned in our Christian experience and administered by the parents, primarily the father, but also under his direction, the mother. Christian discipline is needed to enable children to grow up with reverence for God, respect for parental authority, knowledge of Christian standards, and habits of self-control. Now, that's discipline. I'm going to give you four ways to communicate love to our children. Like, my goal is spend quality time with our children. Number one, or letter A, spend time with your kids. This is four ways to communicate love to our children. One of the greater challenges of fatherhood is finding time to spend with the kids. We talk about this in our Bible study when we were in Roundtree Park yesterday. We were a different person back home when we arrived here in Canada. We're so active in the church. We do a lot. Love. We serve. But when we arrive here, it's just work, 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 work. And it's true. And that we keep reminiscing our past. That I'm like this. Back home. Because of busy schedules, we don't have time for our children. However, busyness is not an excuse for failing to set aside time for your children. If something is important to you, somehow you'll find a way to make it happen. You agree? If the person is important to you, you'll have that time. Set a time and be committed. Let us not betray our children or neglect them. We can spend time with them, praying with them, praising with them, even playing with them. More unproductive time spent in a waste of time, screen time. I'm guilty as a dad, sometimes you have to give the phone or a TV just for you to have the time. When me and Paula taking care of the youth, this is one of my strategies. so I can study and I can minister the youth because we're doing online before. I have to give Ezra the screen time for almost 2 hours. And whatever it is, he's watching in the TV, doing in his phone, I don't know. And I struggled with that. It didn't last long for me doing that. Share with them their interest. Watch their video. This is a very good way to be a spy to your children. You know why we became a James Bond in this aspect? You will know what they're watching. And there's a lot of things. I'm going to share it to you later. There's a lot of things going on in this world. Even sometimes listen to their music. Encourage them to listen to their music with you. Though they want to stop you from doing it, but, you know, if you can find a way, try to share their interest. Who are Gen Z here? Fathers? Even parents? Gen Z. You know what Gen Z is? The Generation Z? Born from 1997 to 2012. We're all lower than that. These are the fully digital people. Fully digital people. Okay? 81 to 96. Raise your hand. You were born 81 to 96. 1981 to 1996. So there are some. Wow, we have an older generation here. Okay. We are called Generation Y or Millennials, the rise of the internet. Okay? I think almost everyone belongs in this. The 1946 to 64, who belongs here? 1946 to 64, the boomers, baby boomers. You're not baby anymore. You know? I skip a bit. 1925 to 1945. You still one? 1925 to 45, no more? They call it a silent generation. They're all silent now. They were all called to heaven. So my son's generation is a generation they called Alpha, if you don't know it. Born between 2010 to 2024. Some of them are COVID kids, okay? So the term Generation Alpha was coined by Mark McCriddle, a social analyst and demographer. Mark Crindle defines Generation Alpha, or Gen Alpha for short, as those born from 2010 to 2024. Currently is the youngest generation, with more than 2.8 million people born weekly. 2.8 million people born weekly. Gen Alpha is projected to become the largest generation in the history of the world. Can you imagine 3 million weekly? Times 4, 12 million a month? Gen Alpha is considered the most technologically aware generation. Every time, right, left, centered, all digital, all technology. having grown up alongside digital innovation. In 2010, Gen Alpha's starting line, the first iPad, was released. Instagram launched in 2010, and app was the word of the year. App. You know, your phone, you have the app for Amazon, app for what else? What else you shop for? Timo? Dollarama? So I'm gonna share to you these words. This is the words now. Too early for their age. They speak in tongues already. So can we flash that, Brother Jesse, right there? Those are the words that the Generation Alpha. So if you have kids born on 2010 to 2024, watch for these words. They'll say it in school. They'll say it in wherever. Oh, I think my bad. I think I didn't share it to you guys. Okay, let me just say this to you. Sigma. You understand the word sigma? Who heard it? You heard it. I heard it from my son. And their meaning is someone has the charm. Char. Someone who has charm. They have this word riz. R-I-Z-Z. Riz. Riz. This is Bisaya, okay? So no matter what you try to change my dialect. So this one is very good flirting skills. So you have teenagers. Yeah, you're at risk. Skibidi. They have videos, they have words all over. It may be cool, bad, or dumb. Depends on how they use it. You're so skibidi. Maybe they're saying you're cool, or maybe you're dumb. Ohio. It spells like the place Ohio. Something weird or out of ordinary. Phantom tax. I don't know why the CRA comes here. Phantom tax. A friend stealing your food. Sounds like. Pookie. Pookie. P-O-O-K-I-E. A close friend. So, you're my Pookie. I tell you, there's a lot. Mewing. What do we know about mewing? Exactly. It's a jaw exercise. Mewing. Crash out. To go insane. See, these are just some of the words that this generation in the internet. So if we're not very careful, you know, with our children, fathers, if we're not careful with this digital word now, they call it brain rot, as in rot, R-O-T. And I found out there's a word there that mocks God. And Ezra bring it home. because I heard it from, he heard it from his classmate. So I have to deal with him. So we stopped everything. I told him, you will not have a screen time if you're going to watch those videos that you don't even understand the words. And like what Pastor Sunny said, they're really prone to sinning. It's in man's nature. And if we are not so careful, monitoring them. And whenever we pray, I would say, forgive me, God, for, that's why I would say this, forgive me, God, for saying the word, which is good. But I told him all the time, it's not because you're saying sorry, you can still say the word. You have to stop saying the word. But it feels like I can just still do it and then say sorry after. Sounds familiar? Even us here, fathers, we do a lot of things. Lord, I'm sorry. The next day, you do it again. Listen carefully. That's number three. Listen carefully. Not just the word they say, but listen to their feelings. Maybe you are so busy doing things, not even minding that they needed our attention. They want us to be proud of what they are doing, but we refuse to listen, not being sensitive enough to what they are trying to tell us. This will be the last, and I will close to this. I think I'm in time. Last and very important. Sharing the unconditional love of God. Why this is very important. For me, I think this is very important for us dads out there to share what we have received first. The love of God, the unconditional love of God. Fathers, if we truly love our children, let us share the gospel to them. Do not let other people to rob you of sharing Christ with your children. Fathers, I'm very particular with this because my dad, he's not here in this, here now. Died 3 years ago. I don't have a Christian parents. Nobody shares me the gospel. When I got saved, I have to share the gospel to them. Which is the wrong way. Dads, men's here, do not let your children share the gospel to you. Step up, learn, study the Bible, share Christ with your children. Do not depend on these Sunday school teachers. They're only here for Sunday. We are there Monday to Sunday. Like again, my first point earlier, do not just read, but study. Pray. We should be the one discipling our kids. Amen? To all the men, fathers, even single men, abide always in the Lord. Be that man that God wants you to be for your family and for your future families. Again, I'm going to conclude with this before we close. Maybe you're here. I mean, it's Father's Day. But, you know, you have been calling God as your father, but you really don't have that relationship. It's different to call father, but then you don't have that connection. This is for everybody. Let me invite you to pray and ask God's forgiveness of your sins and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then, in John, he said, I gave you the rights to become a children of God. And then you can call him Father. Amen? Let's pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
The Lord
make his face to shine upon you
and be gracious.
And be gracious
unto you.
And be gracious. The Lord be gracious.